Good afternoon. I'm Allison Ruttenberg for the two defendants in this matter, and I represent also Mr. Schuman in the underlying criminal case. This civil action occurred concurrent with the animal cruelty case, and so my predecessor below, once Mr. Schuman was convicted, then stipulated to the facts, unfortunately. So this is a very straightforward case because there's no factual disputes. The issue is whether the district court had the authority under 3542.101 to engage in that very broadly worded injunction to not just enjoin specific acts of animal husbandry in the future, but to prevent Mr. Schuman or his corporation. And just for ease of reference, I'm just going to refer to the defendants as Mr. Schuman, because the corporation is his alter ego and is really just the same. But in order to enjoin Mr. Schuman from forever ranching in Logan County. Also, the injunction was worded rather sloppily in that I think it unintendedly also included people like me. But the way it's worded is all of Mr. Schuman's employees, agents, or otherwise are also enjoined. So reading the injunction, construing it rather strictly, technically, I can't ranch in Logan County either, which I'm sure the district court did not intend, but that's just...
Let me ask, I'm sorry, Ms. Ruttenberg, let me ask you about that. I noticed that you mentioned that in your brief. I was not planning to address it or have it be addressed in the court's opinion, but because I'm not sure you have standing to raise it, where... And I'm not sure it's properly raised before the court. If you want us to address it, I'd appreciate if you tell us how we can.
Well, yeah, I'm just pointing out that's the consequence of this uncarefully drafted order that's way overbroad, and it's so overbroad that it even includes that. I mean, I have no desire to ranch in Logan County, so I don't really care, and I'm not asking for the court specifically to order relief on that basis. I'm just merely pointing out that order is drafted so broadly, it even includes people like me and my paralegal. So, I mean, the part of this case is the wording of 3542.101 and what the district court can and can't do. The statute itself says that the commissioner can seek to enjoin any person who is engaged in or about to engage in any act or practice constituting a violation of the provision of the Animal Protection Act. Now,
Ms. Ruttenberg, but isn't animal or acts of animal cruelty, aren't those acts or actions which would fall within the statute?
Well, I'm not saying the district court couldn't enjoin further acts of animal cruelty. What I'm saying is that the way this is worded is they're enjoining even the ownership of any livestock at all.
I've got a fairly specific question then to ask you about the statutory language. I noticed in subsection 3 of 3542.112, it does refer again to act or practice, but it also has and to enjoin compliance. So it seems like the enjoining compliance would be separate from the act or practice.
Well, again, you can issue a much more narrowly tailored injunction to enjoin compliance by going through the process of being specific here. I mean, you can't just ban Mr. Schuman from ever owning cattle again in Logan County. And really, if the intention was to prevent animal cruelty by Mr. Schuman from enjoining him from ever owning cattle, why just limit it to Logan County when he can go buy a ranch in Lincoln County and nothing would prevent him from owning cattle there?
But the I have another question. I'm sorry for interrupting, but on the reply brief, page 10, you suggest that if a specific order were entered and then Mr. Schuman failed to comply with that order, at that point the court could issue a broader order. And I guess my question is, why wait before additional acts of animal cruelty are committed before the court has the authority to issue a broader order?
Well, I mean, I'm not suggesting that if he violates a more specific order, then we can just revert back to this old order. I'm saying that that the district court has to write an order that complies with the statute. And the statute is states that the Commissioner of Agriculture can seek to enjoin a violation of the provision of this article, any act. So if the issue is that Mr. Schumann was cruel to his cattle because he didn't provide enough cubic feet per water per cow, then very specifically, the order should state you have to have available so much cubic feet per water per animal per day. You have to have your feeding bins at a certain height. I mean, nobody ever gave them the chance to correct any of these measures.
Well, but the trial court did make a finding that he wasn't likely to comply in the future. If that's the case, why was the trial court required to go through a useless exercise like that and potentially subject the animals, the future animals, to additional cruelty?
Your Honor, I just don't see anything in the record where you can reach that conclusion. There were a couple of specific cattle in this case that Mr.
But he could judge Mr. Schumann's demeanor and determine as he did, he made a specific finding that this gentleman wasn't going to change his practices.
Well, he's not going to change his practices unless he's ordered to. I mean, the whole point is to order him to change his practices. Mr. Schumann's stubborn, maybe, and the Commissioner of Agriculture is being stubborn too, but there is middle ground here that complies with the statute and also complies with the Colorado Constitution. I mean, this order as it is drafted is so broad that Mr. Schumann cannot engage in his chosen practice, and he was never given the opportunity to make these specific corrections, which, you know, in hindsight now seem that they're rather simple. I mean,
They are simple, and the point is they shouldn't have to even be put in a trial court order for people to recognize they shouldn't starve their cattle. I mean, that's the point. I mean, if you're saying you have to have specific regulations or create an injunction that says don't starve your cattle, essentially, that's common sense, and the court can determine that there's not a no point to giving a further chance to this gentleman to do that.
Well, here's the problem, and I realize that my predecessor stipulated to the facts. I mean, the facts was it wasn't that Mr. Schumann was just intentionally starving his cattle. There is a difference of opinion as to what types of feed provide enough nutrition, especially during in the winter months. Mr. Schumann was following a long standard practice of feeding his cattle a certain type of feed. The Commissioner of Agriculture says that's insufficient.
Ms. Renberg, but just as you are constrained to the record, so are we. And Mr. Schumann certainly had an opportunity at the preliminary injunction hearing to present opposing testimony, his own expert to testify that his practices were appropriate, or even his own testimony to say what he was willing to do on a going forward basis. But just like you're stuck with the record, so are we.
I realize that, and that's why I'm again asking the court to construe the statute strictly and construe Mr. Schumann's constitutional rights broadly and give him the opportunity to correct these disputed practices that the Commissioner of Agriculture disagrees with. And there really should be a full-fledged hearing in the district court as to what specifically is appropriate, and allow Mr. Schumann the opportunity then to argue, for instance, next winter, if he's able to get his herd back again that quickly, if the weather conditions change. I mean, again, part of the problem here is we had an extraordinary storm during that winter.
But that's not part of our record, correct?
Correct.
And he had an opportunity to ask for that full-fledged hearing. Instead, his attorney stipulated to facts and, you know, briefed the matter on a summary judgment.
Right, but again, we don't have to run into that problem if you construe the statute narrowly and realize that the statute, I mean, there's this kind of underlying emotional argument that the Attorney General keeps circling back to in his answer brief, that, you know, Mr. Schumann is this terrible person who showed no remorse. I mean, he's a very stoic, you know, Eastern Colorado type of rancher. I personally believe that's a little bit unfair, but the statute itself just does not allow the district court to say, okay, you cannot ever own cattle again. I mean, if these cows were pets or children, we wouldn't be here either. Even Michael Vick gets to own a dog.
Well,
Casey Anthony.
Perhaps not. Well, but the point is, even children can get taken away. And the state can't enjoin people from having children just because we don't have forced sterilizations anymore. But at least, wouldn't you agree that the right to have children is at least as important as the right to be able to operate a business and own property? And that can be permanently taken away in the sense that a child, your child, your unique child, can be taken away. Why is the right that you're arguing for any stronger than that?
These cattle have already been taken away. What I'm arguing is he can't be enjoined in the future from buying new cattle, just like Casey Anthony can have a new baby, and then she has to be properly supervised, just like under this statute, the Commissioner of Agriculture, you know, has the authority to come into district court and ask that Mr. Schumann be properly supervised with his next herd. This statute does not allow the enjoining of an otherwise lawful act, which is owning a herd. It allows the Commissioner of Agriculture to enjoin the specific unlawful acts that the court found based on the stipulations of fact. And that's all I'm asking this court to do, is to compel the district court to enter a narrow injunction specifically tailored to just enjoin the acts or practices that were found to be in violation of the statute. Otherwise, the statute is too broad and is violating Mr. Schumann's constitutional rights. And I would like to reserve my last 3.5 minutes.
I think the relevant starting point is...
Excuse me, counsel, can you please state your name for the record?
I'm sorry, Billy Sieber, number 34380, here on behalf of the Commissioner of Agriculture. I think a good starting point, as some of your judges have pointed out, is what the evidence in this record does show. What the evidence shows in this case was a series of cattle. I think there were 16 cattle total that were taken that were in extreme conditions. These extreme conditions, as our experts had testified to, were arrived at by virtue of Mr. Schumann's particular method of ranching. We had one cow that had been down for 7 to 10 days, down in the condition that it wasn't going to get up. And that was attested to even by Mr. Schumann. He said he knew the cow would not rise again. Once a cow goes down, once a Holstein goes down, she loses her will to rise. The animal should have been euthanized. We had expert testimony to that, and the animal ultimately was euthanized.
She's familiar with the facts, counsel.
Okay, she had suffered needlessly.
Mr. Sieber, I think that Ms. Ruttenberg made it clear that they wouldn't be opposed to specific injunction directed to those sorts of specific acts. But I think that the problem that the opponents have articulated is that this injunction covers otherwise legal acts, which is the ownership of livestock. And so I think that's the point that needs to be addressed.
Certainly. And the legal acts were predicated on unlawful activity. And that's the issue here, is that the actions that Mr. Schumann had taken up to this point were unlawful. The district court, as you pointed out, Judge Terry, had specifically determined that Mr. Schumann had a pattern and practice of behaving this way. Judge Vannori was not unclear when he made his finding, and he based it on the record, including Mr. Schumann's testimony.
Let me give you a hypothetical then in that regard. Let's say you have Rancher A and Rancher B. Okay, Rancher A said that he's taken some classes in animal husbandry. He realizes the error of his ways, and he's now prepared to go forth and engage in more traditional sorts of methods, whereas Rancher B shows no sort of remorse or repentance. And do you think that those two situations are different? Both of them have shown a pattern of animal cruelty. The difference would be that one has expressed a need to change where the other one has not.
I do think they're different, and I agree with you. I think that the rancher, I think it was A, you said, who had taken the courses and educated himself as to what were proper practices, would be eligible to come back into the ranching fold, perhaps under some modified order or plan from the commissioner or the judge. But that's not the case here. What we have here is someone whom the district court judge found did not have any desire to change his methods or practice. He would continue in the same pattern he'd done before, the pattern that led to the death and dying.
Okay, so you're placing some emphasis on this lack of remorse or repentance. And so I guess my follow-up question would be, what authority do you have, or what language in the statute is there that would allow an injunction to be based on this sort of lack of remorse or lack of repentance?
The lack of, I don't think it's a lack of remorse or lack of repentance so much as it's the fact that that's his method of ranching. It's not a matter of whether he was repentant for it or remorseful for it. It's not a matter of emotion in this matter. It's a matter of a fundamental lack of understanding. And I think the statutes with regard to regulatory law are clear. When we have individuals who are licensed who don't meet the standard learning or education or even practice methods, those people can be restrained from any of their acts, from dentistry, from medicine, even from the practice of law when they're determined not to be fit to practice. They can be rehabilitated, and there's room for that rehabilitation where they might be licensed in the future. Whether they were unrepentant or unremorseful isn't the issue so much as it's a lack of not standing up to the standards of their community or their particular profession.
But what about the fact that this particular order does not leave open the possibility for that rehabilitation that you're talking about?
I believe that Mr. Schumann would have under the law an option to present himself to the district court and petition for a release of the permanent injunction if he were to go through some of these in the future. And I believe it was the May case in which the judge in May restrained the picketing because it was so enmeshed in the violent activity there was no way to divorce the two. But he said should it reach a point where the violent activity is no longer existing, the district court could rephrase or reframe its injunction to limit only that which was against the law. Even in the cases that the defendants cite you for Griff v. City of Alexandria, for example, provide ample evidence that a legitimate occupation may be restricted or prohibited. In May, it's the same sort of thing where May points back to Breard and May says, we're not going to upset the Green River ordinances. We're not going to upset the restriction on what is the unlawful portion versus the lawful portion. But that's not what we have here. What I want to drive home is what we had was hard, a very striking unlawful activity. We had unlawful activity that reached the point that it was a violation of the Animal Protection Act. And I think the legislature was really clear when they stated that the protection of companion animals and livestock is a matter of statewide concern. It is the policy of the state that persons responsible for the care and custody of such animals be persons fit to adequately provide for the health and well-being of such animals. And it's within that context that the district court had to analyze the facts that were before it. Both the photographic evidence, the expert evidence, and the testimony of Mr. Schumann, which didn't provide any room or anything for the court to hang its hat on, that there was something here that could be done to remedy the situation or salvage ranching operation and allow this person to continue ranching without continuing to come afoul of or in conflict with what is put forth in 3542. The evidence paints a picture of a man who's not fit to adequately provide for the health and well-being of animals entrusted to him. The court concluded defendants are not fit to provide for the health and well-being of the livestock. And I think it's critical, the words and the methods that Judge Vannoy used to communicate his order. He used words like egregious. He did say that Mr. Schumann was unrepentant and incorrigible. These are strong and striking words to describe this civil matter. He wrote, under the circumstances of this case, permitting the defendants to own, possess, or control livestock is likely to result in a repetition of the same circumstances that gave rise to the case. And I think that's where Judge Vannoy was really focused, is that the actions that led to this were not actions that were isolated. They did not occur in a vacuum. As you all pointed out, there was no evidence to suggest that there was some cataclysmic event or freak occurrence of nature that had caused these accidents or these incidents to occur. Rather, it was a pattern and practice of Mr. Schumann that led to this, and it would go on. Even his criminal, a jury of his peers, found him guilty of 14 counts of animal cruelty, a higher standard in that regard. With regard to the authority of the district court to enter injunctions, district courts and trial courts are granted broad authority to enter injunctions, and they're required to do so both with specificity and in a way that directs the defendant or the enjoined person on how to comply with the law. These elements.
Mr. Sieber, I don't believe I've seen, at least in a reported Colorado case, that any injunction this broad has ever been issued under this statute before. Have you found any?
I have not found any injunction that is this broad.
Have you found any out-of-state authority?
No. But I think the judge was left with, the district court was left with a position where it didn't have an option. The only way to ensure protection of livestock, to ensure that the Animal Protection Act not be violated, that the public policy set forth within Title 35 was carried forward, was to enjoin these actions for the future, or at least until Mr. Schumann could present himself back to the district court and request a review or a repeal of the permanent restraining order. Mr. Schumann was not engaged in a legitimate or lawful occupation. His ranching methods violated the Animal Protection Act. His livestock suffered, they starved, they were dehydrated, and they lay dying without a humane end to their suffering. Neither the United States nor the Colorado's constitutions provide an absolute protection to practice an unlawful protection. The lower court crafted its injunction to be specific and to do more than merely recite the law. The lower court's injunction is not overly broad, and most certainly is within its authorities to formulate the terms of injunctive relief. The order relied upon the evidence submitted at trial: photographic evidence of sick and dying cattle, expert testimony regarding the animal's health, expert testimony regarding the feed and water available to the cattle, and defendant Schumann's testimony with regard to what he considered to be normal and acceptable means of cattle ranching. The evidence did not support a conclusion that Mr. Schumann was engaged in lawful activity. It supported the conclusion that he had violated the Animal Protection Act and that he would continue to violate the Animal Protection Act if he were allowed to continue to ranch. For these reasons, we would ask that the lower court's injunction stand as written.
And you are effectively conceding that the trial court has the authority to modify the order if Mr. Schumann petitions the court, showing, you know, proving that he is willing to change his practices?
I have not done the research aside from the statement that was in May, in which the Supreme Court stated that if the situation were to change in May, which that was a freedom of speech issue, picketing with violence involved in it, that the court would be able to modify its injunction at that point.
Do you have a position on the observation that the remedy order?
It is bizarrely written when it comes to that, but I believe that what the judge was trying to convey was that the attorneys who might become involved with Schumann Cattle LLC, not attorneys who would be involved with his criminal or civil aspects, attorneys who helped formulate different corporations or incorporations for the purpose of managing or operating cattle in Logan County.
So do you think it would be agents or attorneys who would be working? Doesn't seem to me necessarily owning their own.
Correct. I think the judge's intent was to try to avoid a straw man operation where an operation might be named ownership by an attorney who was a shell for Mr. Schumann, who was actively and effectively in charge of the cattle himself. Additional questions? I thank you for your time.
Your Honor, first of all, I'd like to take exception to the Attorney General's argument that there was all these dead cattle strewn around and these were all the result of Mr. Schumann's unlawful activities in animal husbandry. I did carefully set out in the opening brief this issue, and it was a critical issue in the criminal appeal as well. There was this evidence of all these dozens of other dead cattle. There was no evidence that those cattle died as a result of animal cruelty or that they even died while the ranch was being owned by Mr. Schumann. Mr. Schumann only recently inherited this ranch, and it's simply unfair and a distortion of the record to say that because there's all these dozens of dead cattle carcasses that were found on his ranch, which is a perfectly acceptable method of dealing with animals who have died of natural causes, that therefore that somehow means that there's this long practice by Mr. Schumann in particular of engaging in animal cruelty. That simply is not true. And again, the key issue in this case is the method of ranching. If it is the method of ranching that is objectionable and violates the Animal Protection Act, then the district court and this court has the authority to enjoin the method of ranching. It is not necessary to enjoin Mr. Schumann from ranching at all. And the district court, I think, made it very clear that he thought that Mr. Schumann would engage in further activities that would involve animal cruelty if his method of ranching was not enjoined. So that's what the district court needs to do. It needs to enjoin the particular method of ranching that Mr. Schumann is engaged in. And it's simply untrue that that method of ranching is so enmeshed in the lawful activities that the two can't be segregated. Remember, Mr. Schumann had a very large herd, only a very small fraction of which were subject to the animal cruelty charges. So it is not true that Mr. Schumann was engaged in this large operation like Michael Vick was, whose only purpose was to torture and starve cattle. That's simply not true. And that isn't even one of the stipulated facts in the record.
It doesn't seem that the court's order is based on any enmeshment between the acts, that they can't be, and the practices that they can't be segregated, and that you couldn't. It seems to be more directed toward the unwillingness of Mr. Schumann to agree to such a segregation between the acts and the practices. You know,
well, his unwillingness to voluntarily admit that what he was doing before was wrong, which is why we have the Animal Protection Act. So you enjoin it and make him fix it. But that doesn't give the district court the authority then to engage in a super broad order that deprives Mr. Schumann of his livelihood altogether. That goes way beyond the language of the statute, Your Honor. And if there's no other questions, I would ask the court to reverse and remand for the entry of a more specific order that specifically will enjoin the unlawful ranching methods that the district court found that will not deprive Mr. Schumann of his livelihood. Thank you.
Thank you both for your fine arguments. The case is deemed submitted, and you may expect a written opinion in due course.